This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio's Startup Week is October 13th through the 17th. San Antonio Startup Week is a five-day mix of educational panels, actionable workshops, and city-building events, and hyper-local activations for entrepreneurs and startups. The keynote speaker is a star of Shark Tank. He's a philanthropist and activist for international peace and cooperation and the founder of Kind Snack Bars, Daniel Lubetsky. Daniel, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, Dave. And most important, you forgot to mention that I used to live in San Antonio and love San Antonio very much.
I was going to get to that. I thought about, I should throw that you're a graduate, you're a former Tiger, a graduate of Trinity University in the intro. I thought we'd get there, but let's go ahead. And so you were born, though, in Mexico City, your father, Holocaust survivor, and you moved to San Antonio in your teens. Is that right?
Yes, I turned 16 in San Antonio, and I went to Robert Lee High School, is what it used to be called back then. Now they call it Lee, and then to Trinity University, and forged a lot of friendships and amazing memories. And I started my entrepreneurial journey, well, in Mexico when I was a magician as an 8-year-old and forced people to watch my performances. But then in San Antonio, I used to have booths selling on the flea markets, and then kiosks in North Star Mall and Ingram Park Mall, and that's how I started.
Well, there's a lot to be said for learning how to be a magician and doing those tricks, because you got to stand up in front of people and wow them, which you're still doing.
100%. And magic is really an incredible thing I recommend to young people, because it teaches them not just what you said, the importance of being able to stand in front of an audience, but also a lot of psychology. It makes you understand how people think. And, you know, I find myself sometimes at a board meeting where everybody's staring at me and I need them to pay attention to one of my team members. And I just put my eyes on the person they wanted to look at, and people start looking at that. And that came from me observing that when you're doing magic, wherever you look as a performer, your audience will look. And so there's a lot of tools that I use from my magic days for business.
It's also about understanding the perspective of others and thinking, what are they seeing and how do I control what they're seeing and what they, and understanding what they're expecting and what they want. And I think that has a lot to do with being a successful entrepreneur.
Right. And if we continue on this celebration of magic, the other thing is that magic helps you think outside the box. So it makes you be creative in your thinking and in your ideas for when you come up with your own magic effects. And building businesses is also about thinking about how to deliver a product or service in a way that hasn't been done before. How do you do it better than others? How do you challenge false paradigms? And by thinking with and, by thinking creatively, rather than thinking with or, how do you deliver something that's, let's say, in the case of Kind, something that is healthy and tasty, or that's socially impactful and economically sustainable? How do you change false paradigms to deliver something better that others have not done before?
Right. So you founded Kind Snacks, Kind Bars. Pretty much everyone knows what that is. You're no longer, you know, working with that product. You sold the company, a very successful business that you launched. And I mean, what can people learn from that? I mean, as you speak to future entrepreneurs, they want to know, how do I become a person who creates a product that is as successful as Kind?
Well, the reason I'm excited to participate in San Antonio Startup Week, October 13th through 17th, is that I'll be able to go in depth on that question, Dave. My session's on October 15th at 11 a.m. And I was just reading the brief. It's amazing that it's free to everybody, because the 80-20 Foundation is allowing all of these core activities are free to attend. So I really do encourage entrepreneurs or people that want to become entrepreneurs to learn more and participate. For me, I learn more from my failures than from my successes. And I think that's what I like to talk about. Because prior to Kind, I had 10 years of mistakes, not just with my first company that I started after law school called Peaceworks, which sought to build bridges between neighbors in conflict regions and use business as a force for getting, let's say, Israelis, Palestinians, Jordanians, Egyptians, Turks to trade with one another, but also from many other failed attempts. Like I had so many businesses that I tried that didn't pan out. And I just kept going. I didn't give up. And I kept like pivoting and adjusting until I finally learned from all of those mistakes and figured it out.
So you were like selling sun-dried tomatoes like on the street in New York or something? Is that what I heard that? Is that true?
Yeah, Peaceworks. I had a Stanford law education and I emptied my legal briefcase and filled it up with these jars of sun-dried tomato spreads made through a corporate venture between Middle Eastern neighbors striving to coexist. And, you know, the product was, the first line of sun-dried tomato spreads was called Moshe Pupik and Ali Mishmumken's world famous gourmet foods. And I still haven't figured out why it didn't work out.
The name could have been a little more easier to market.
The trauma from that name is what finally got me to keep it simple when we called it Kind 10 years later.
Yeah. So.
And yes, to your point, Davey, I was walking up and down the streets of Manhattan, door by door, store by store, trying to get them to try our products and to give us a chance. And there was a lot of rejections and a lot of soles of shoes getting worn out before we finally figured it out.
In doing that work, I know you have spent time in Gaza. This is before what happened, you know, on October 6th, you know, long before that. I think in the 2010s, maybe 2012, you were there. How are you seeing, and you've worked a lot and you have been an advocate for trying to bring the sides together. What are you seeing today?
I spent a lot of time and have recently still visited the region, but what you're referring to is both when I started Peaceworks and I used to work with trading partners and I went to Gaza to look for and explore trading partnerships there, but also when I was building a movement called One Voice with my co-founder, Mohammed Darawshe, we built back then the largest grassroots movement of not just Israelis, but also Palestinians and international supporters across. We had close to 1 million Israelis and Palestinians, about 500,000 Palestinians, 500,000 Israelis, mobilizing to try to seize back the agenda away from extremism. Back then, we helped negotiate among citizens. We engaged over 100,000, I think it was 125,000 citizens participated in citizen negotiations and helped achieve consensus on the 10 key pillars for how to resolve the conflict. Ironically and dramatically and tragically, the answers back then are probably the same if there ever is a resolution to this conflict that helps fulfill the potential of both peoples. We were credited back in 2008 with propelling the Annapolis peace process, and we were proud of a lot of the work we did. But then, unfortunately, absolutism and extremism ended up reigning, and until now, we have not been able to seize back the agenda away in order to help both peoples recognize that the only way for them to build, fulfill the potential of their side and to build a better future for the children is by finding a way to empower moderates and to empower builders rather than destroyers that deny the humanity of the other side. And, you know, you have a situation where like Hamas is not trying to build a state in peace with Israel. It's not even trying to build a state for the Palestinian people. It's trying to destroy Israel, and they don't care
about the Palestinian loss of Israel. People. I mean, I would say they don't care about the Palestinian people in general. I mean, it seems like that's the main problem.
Yeah, the problem is that they have an absolutist vision where they want to build a ummah. And there's extremists on both sides that think that there is no way to work with the other. And the sad part is that when Hamas does what it did on October 7th, it ends up convincing the Israelis that maybe there really isn't a partner on the Palestinian side. I know that there are thousands of Palestinians that I'm friends with that would want a better future. And I really urge any of your listeners that care about this issue to not side with extremist visions, because they end up actually hurting the people that they purport to help. And my Palestinian partners, we still have something called Peace Rocks on campus, where we go to college campuses. And my Palestinian partners are terrified at the radicalization of people that want to support Hamas or any absolutist visions, because they know that that's going to then prevent Palestinians from fulfilling their potential, because you're not going to be able to develop Gaza back to invest in Gaza if you don't make sure that there's no terrorists and extremists controlling the area. And in order for you to bring in investment from Arab partners, from international partners in the region, you're going to need to have builders there. And there's a lot of people like Salam Fayyad and other Palestinian technocrats that could really and would show that they could be good partners. And on the Israeli side too, you need to make sure that you have leadership that is trying to build a better future for both peoples. And right now we have our work cut out for us.
Yeah, yeah, quite a bit. Look, we're going to take a break here. Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you have a question or a comment for the kind shark on Shark Tank, Daniel Lubetzky, we're going to ask him about Shark Tank and how he works that into his busy schedule and more when we come back from the break. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues. Stay with us.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Are you ready to amplify your impact through workplace giving? Many employers match donations, doubling or even tripling your support for TPR's local and global programming. Some employers even match gifts from retirees and spouses, so your contribution can go even further. Check if your company participates today by visiting tpr.org/workplacegiving.
Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, I'm David Martin Davies. With us on the line is Daniel Lubetzky. He is going to headline, to be the keynote speaker at San Antonio Startup Week. A disclosure, San Antonio Startup Week is a Texas Public Radio underwriter, but we cover it like we would any other organization. Daniel is a social entrepreneur working to build bridges between people and increase appreciation for our shared humanity. He is the son of a Holocaust survivor. He strives to channel business forces and the power of citizen agency to prevent what happened to his father from happening again to others. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255. So, Daniel, how do you do all that and still find time to be on Shark Tank? It seems like, you know, Shark Tank's a TV show, and is it really about, you know, how much of that is real?
It's very real. I had two calls with entrepreneurs earlier today that we found through Shark Tank, and the recording part is really fun, but it's a very small part of what goes on. Like, then you need to mentor and support those that you do deals with, and that's a year-round commitment, and they tend to be younger enterprises, so they require a lot of tender care. It's a real thing. When you are on the chair as a shark and you look at those entrepreneurs walking in through, it's the first time you've seen them and you don't know anything about these businesses beforehand. And it is intellectually very challenging to try to figure out the patterns and decide whether you want to invest in those entrepreneurs. And it's not just whether they have a good product or service and whether the product market fit exists, but also what is the temperament of the entrepreneurs? Because most likely in almost any enterprise, there's going to be big highs and big lows. It's like a roller coaster ride. And a lot of people don't understand that it's going to be difficult. I don't know any journey of fellow entrepreneurs that didn't have humongous challenges before things finally worked out. So you want to be in the trenches with people that you enjoy working with that are worth supporting. And you need to figure all of that live, I mean, within minutes.
Let's go to Carlos on the phones. And Carlos, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dave, I just want to say thank you for your program and the awesome speakers. But I did hear something about a conference coming up that it's open to the public. Could you guys give more details and how to attend it and where to go?
Sure. We have a lot of that information on our website at tpr.org under today's source show post. But it is the San Antonio Startup Week. And do you want to say anything more about it, Daniel?
Thank you, Carlos. Muchas gracias. It's October 13th through 17th in downtown San Antonio. My session is with Mary Japheth on Wednesday, October 15th at 11 a.m. And they have over 100 sessions, workshops, pitch competitions, networking events, and a lot of the core activities are free to attend thanks to the support of the 8020 Foundation.
You can go to sasw.co and go to there on the web, and it'll give you to all the information to register. So what do you look for in an entrepreneur who shows up at Shark Tank? What kind of products? Are you looking for any kind of thing that sounds like it's viable?
My first thing I look for is values, Dave, because if the person's not loyal, respectful, introspective, you can learn skills, but the values, in my opinion, are the most important thing that are really going to define who a person is. If the person is able to be self-reflective and evaluate themselves, even if they make mistakes, they continue learning and improving. But if they think they have all the answers and they're not willing to learn or listen, I think they'll get in trouble. So for me, I first really look at the temperament of the person. And then, of course, I want to find a product or service that seems to address an unmet need. And I want to make sure that it's got potential, ideally with some traction, demonstrating that consumers have started paying for it and are willing to believe in the product or service and are buying it. But I really, at a minimum, want to make sure that the product or service seems to really provide what I call a unique selling proposition, something that it does better than others.
All right, let's go to Bill on the phones. And Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks. I'm very interested in this. I recently heard an individual from San Antonio area who works with entrepreneurs all over the country say that he lived in New Orleans during the hurricane there. And he says that he sees the renewal of New Orleans so much in the entrepreneurial spirit of that town and area. I'm in Kerr County where we had a disastrous flood July the 4th. Given your guest work with entrepreneurs all over the world, do you see a role for entrepreneurs in an area recovering from disaster?
Wow, Bill, thank you for the question. So Daniel.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, both business entrepreneurship and social entrepreneurship. Let me start with the latter. When COVID happened, we realized that a lot of people were risking their lives to keep us safe, EMS workers, doctors, nurses, even grocery workers that were literally, risking their well-being to try to keep us fed and keep us healthy. So we started something called Frontline Builders, and Frontline Builders deployed also during the CARE tragedy. We have over 100 companies that are partners. They donate products to try to help people in need, starting with the first responders. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity for social entrepreneurs to continue leaning in. It tends to be the case that when the tragedy happens, it gets the limelight and the attention. And then there's a lot of healing that needs to go on and building needs to go afterwards. And people stop paying attention. So we need to find ways. I really like, Bill, that you even just brought this up, because we need to keep the focus on those areas, because they need a lot of work beyond the moment of the tragedy. And I do think business entrepreneurship is essential, because what I like about entrepreneurship and commerce is I've started several nonprofit initiatives too, but it's very hard to scale them and sustain them, because every year you need to pass around the hat, raise money, give money, and you need starting from scratch. Whereas if you use market forces like we did with Peaceworks or with Kind to do a business that somebody's paying for, that they find value in and they're willing to pay for that product or service, then it can scale up faster and sustain itself because the product is or service is paying for itself. So my favorite thing when I'm able to figure out the model is to do both, do well and do good at the same time, to find a market model where you're channeling market forces to sell a product or service that's also doing some good for society. And I think that's what we need to try to figure out how to do in CARE.
A lot of young people today don't think highly of capitalism, but I mean, you're a capitalist, but you're trying to use capitalism to do good. I mean, is that lost these days?
It's a very serious question, Dave. I think we failed our young people by not teaching them the importance of enlightened capitalism. And to paraphrase Winston Churchill, capitalism is the worst system except for all others, meaning capitalism is not perfect. If you do not have the right value set, there can be abuse. If you do not find a way to redistribute some of the wealth, people can end up in bad situations. But capitalism is the best of all systems relative to communism and socialism, because communism as an idea is beautiful, but nobody has ever been able to execute it effectively, because unfortunately, those in power end up centralizing that power and not allowing the market forces to help us get the right signals and they got distribute information to reach the best decisions. I'm literally watching this show on HBO Max right now called Chernobyl, which I recommend to all your viewers. And it's really interesting and gives you a picture on how decisions are made in communist systems, where the bureaucracy ends up intimidating others and you don't act. You know, self-interest is a powerful driver in decisions. It should be enlightened self-interest. It should be something that's doing good for you, but you're also thinking on behalf of others. I think that's the answer, is conscious capitalism. It's trying to make money, but also take care of others at the same time, trying to make money in a way that you're elevating each other and not just thinking for yourself, and not being short-term oriented, being long-term oriented, being relationship oriented. But in my opinion, that's the key to scalable, sustainable change for society.
And we're almost out of time here. I got about a minute and a half, but I just want to say freedom is essential to free enterprise, isn't it?
I think freedom, democracy, rule of law, free expression, the marketplace of ideas, they're, and even respect and civility, they're incredible gifts that we were given by our founding fathers, and we cannot take them for granted. I immigrated from Mexico when I was 16, and it was 1984. And back then, in Mexico, if you criticized the president, you could get in serious trouble. In the United States, I arrived and I would hear comedians making fun of the president on late night television. And it was stunning to me, but it was also stunning that, you know, Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan would vehemently disagree, but then they would go to dinner together at night. And it's an incredible gift for us to be able to respect those we disagree with and learn from each other. And because when you do that, when you create an ecosystem where people can debate ideas respectfully, to your point, David, not only are they coming up with the best ideas to start businesses, but also with the best ideas to start vaccines and technological solutions and schools and society. We do need to find a way to listen to each other and to let the best ideas thrive, because that's the way that our entrepreneurial system thrives itself.
Daniel Lubezki, he is be the keynote speaker at the Startup Week, and the San Antonio Startup Week is a TPR underwriter. We have a disclosure that we will cover it like any other organization. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Dave, and thanks to everybody in San Antonio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.